Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Welcome all to the house of the Lord. Welcome to the house of our God, our daddy's house. My name is Pastor Teddy from Baltimore Christian Faith Center in Randallstown, Maryland. And, you know, we bless the name of the Lord for the rain. I drove by the reservoir down here this past week. I don't think I've ever seen a reservoir that low before. You saw all types of ribs going along and, you know, the gray sand lines and everything else. And it's been raining here all day today. And we praise the name of the Lord, you know, for the rain. We need the rain. So blessed be your holy name, Lord. Thank you so very much. And thank you all of you joining us right now online. We've had, at least I have had, a wonderful day today. We had a wonderful service this morning, and we're equally going to have a wonderful service here tonight. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we praise you. We humble ourselves before you, Lord. We humble ourselves before your presence. You are mighty. You are holy. You are magnificent. I thank you, Lord, for the great and mighty things you do, Lord, here in our presence, things we see, things we hear about. Oh, Lord, all things that come from you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will minister to your people, Lord, tonight, to everyone here, Lord, tonight, and everyone who might be watching at this very moment, this live stream. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to them, Lord, on a one-on-one basis. May your people, Lord, hear you and see you at all times. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. We have our Bibles, yes?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We're going to read the book of Psalms here tonight. We're going to go to Psalms chapter 63. If you'd like to turn there with me. I was going to share two verses out of Psalm 63, but I do find this particular psalm a beautiful psalm, and I would love to read it in its entirety. It only has 11 verses, and I think it'll do us very well if we read the entire chapter. If we read this chapter in its entirety is what I meant to say. Are we in Psalm 63?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Let's read. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you in my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, there are a couple beautiful songs, very popular songs, that have stemmed out of this psalm. This is a beautiful psalm. It's a very intimate psalm. It is one that speaks about the love that someone has for the Lord. It speaks about how much someone craves God. And how someone wished they could be in the assembly of the saints. This psalm is particularly intriguing to individuals who are unable to be with the brethren or God's people for whatever reason. You know, it could be someone who might be locked up, someone who is in jail. It could be someone who might be in the hospital. It could be someone who might not have a way, a transportation, to be in the house of God and sing and fellowship and worship and praise and ultimately see and witness the glory of God in His temple. As the psalmist says, when this psalm was written, David was fleeing from Absalom. He was a fugitive. And the surrounding land that he found himself in was one that was dry, fruitless, barren, hard. It was somewhere where you did not want to find yourself lost in, much less running from your life. Because at this point in time in David's life, his enemies, those who wanted to see him dead, were on his tail. They were after him. Amen? But notice one thing. Notice one thing. You are now out of the comfort of your sleep number bed, king size, California king size, as a matter of fact, right? The extra large one, all right? You're not being served anymore. You don't have your royal robes and jewelry and signet ring and crown and all the amenities that come from being a king. I've never been a king before. I don't plan on it, but I'm pretty sure they have everything to their disposal, and they become acquainted with it. It's part of life. It becomes just like something else. Not like to maybe some of us, it could be something of high ultra luxury to walk in somewhere where it's highly elegant. And now, as I'm painting the picture, now picture this. You're completely out of your element. And you're somewhere exactly opposite. You probably haven't taken a shower for days or brushed your teeth. There might be, you know, a little bit of an odor. Not only that, you haven't had a good night's sleep. Because you're constantly watching your back. Furthermore, there ain't no fruit trees and vegetations on your way out. So you're hungry, you're starving. But worst of all, there is no water. You know, there was a group of people that was fleeing once upon a time. And they themselves got caught in a wilderness where there wasn't anything. And what was their natural reaction? They complained. They complained. They murmured. They complained. They even went as far as making themselves another god. The atrocity. How dare they, after all they had seen? But here's just another example of why David is named a man after God's own heart. Instead of all the amenities that he was used to, and all the things that, all the commodities of life, what he longed the most, what he desired the most, was to be in the house of God. Not even in his own house, but the house of the Lord, where he saw, where he felt, he witnessed the power of God. Amen? The faith is expressed here. In the book of Psalms, it is expressed in Psalms 61. It is expressed in Psalm 62. And it reaches a climax in this marvelous hymn that David makes to the Lord. When all of this is written in a place that is highly uncomfortable, meaning the wilderness. Now I ask thee this evening, do you think that you can make a love song unto the Lord in a place of distress, in a place of duress, in a place of stress? Can you do a love song unto the Lord? A song of thanksgiving? Is that too much to ask? Think about it. It's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Right? At sometimes in my list of Pandora, I have to put the thumbs down so I'll never hear them songs again. Songs that start out by saying, "Oh Lord, I'm in a hard place. And I don't feel like praying. And I don't see your hand." And then it talks about misery. I don't want to hear about somebody else's misery. I don't want to hear about somebody else's problems. I don't want to relate to your problems. I want to hear someone sing about the glorious power of God. Amen? And therefore, this psalm has been playing over and over again for centuries now, and some beautiful songs came out of it. And pay attention, it came from in a place of wilderness. It came from a dark place. This is referring to a time when King David was separated from the Ark of the Covenant, the formal place of worship. Imagine. He knew what's up. And that's all he wanted. Let me show you here, 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 25. We can go there. Let's go there. Then the king said to Zadok, "Carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, He will bring me back and show me both it and his dwelling place." There's a separation that is happening here right now. But the key thing that I want to focus right now is not on the separation. It's not on the status. It is the thirst after God. The thirst after the Lord. The experience that David is experiencing right now is one that is dry, one that is waterless in the wilderness. And instead of it prompting him to say, "Man, boy, I think this is going to be my end because I'm about to die of dehydration." Instead, he says, "My soul thirsts after God." Look at that. I would rather have the Lord more than my own personal benefit. This is a very good example for those who have a hard time fasting. You know, I know that A lot of us, we might be under medication, we might have some restrictions. There's so many things that a lot of times manipulate people to maybe even not do a fast. But for those who are capable of fasting, you know, fasting is not something that is very comfortable, especially if you do it right. If you just do a fast, like, for example, abstain from food, this is what I call a diet. You're dieting. A fast is not a diet. A fast is a sacrifice unto the Lord. But here's where we see the heart of a person who longs after God. Because David so thirsted for and longed for his God, he wrote these words, "Earnestly I seek you." Earnestly. What do you think that means, to seek the Lord earnestly? This may also be translated as this. You ready? Early will I seek you. Early. This has prompted many believers to read this particular psalm as though referring to the morning time. Now, I don't want to take away from that at all. I don't want to remove anything from that. But to seek someone early suggests doing so earnestly, with all of her heart, with all of his heart, continuously. Amen? And today, many people are feeling a very similar way. We desire for the presence of God. We desire to experience God's power in our lives. Do we not?
Yes.
We do.
Yeah.
We long. I just gave the testimony tonight. I'll say it right now. I had been praying for the Lord. Lord, it's been a while since I've seen, heard a good testimony. Since I have seen your hand. Come on, Lord. It's been about a month. Well, I can't go like this, Lord. No way. I had a talk with God. I long to see God's hand move continuously. Amen. And if I don't, I start getting antsy. I get restless. I start seeking the Lord. What's going on, Lord? What's happening? Show me. And the Lord does that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So, many of us, a lot of us, we have the same longing for God's presence. We have the same longing to be amongst brothers and sisters who are on fire for the Lord, just like how you are. Someone who will lift you up. Someone who will be there side by side with you, shoulder to shoulder with you, fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Not someone that's going to drag you down. Not someone who always has, a wrecking report instead of a praise report. They always talk about sad things or about other people's problems. Tell me what the Lord has done for you lately. How has God showed and manifested his power over your life? Amen. That is going to give me the faith and boost my faith. You know, ever since, check this out. This is not part of my notes, but I think this is highly applicable. Ever since I started listening and being around Jerry Savelle and listening to the testimonies that he tells, I have been believing for my airplane. I have. Amen. And it's here. That airplane is here for the honor and glory of God. Amen. But I want to say this. We give the Lord praise and glory for everything that we have. But you know, when you are around someone who has been there, who has done that, and the Lord has sought him through, you know what that does to you? OMG. Well, you know what that does to you, Brother Donald? Man, you know, I look at Brother Donald's Explorer, I said, praise God, yes. That's a blessing of God. I know my wife will have that someday. I'm okay. I'm good. She likes those cars. Amen. That's a nice SUV, by the way. You know, I see the men of God and how the Lord has blessed him over the years. And I'm into aviation also. I love to fly. I've been sowing seed to his aviation funds. He has a dedicated aviation giving page. There's like tithes and offerings, and there's international missions, I believe, that's worldwide. And he has one just for aviation. And I think those funds pay for the fuel, for the upkeep, for the annual maintenance and all those stuff. I've been sowing a seed there for a couple of years now. I think it might be 3 years now. I've been sowing a seed there. And every time I hear him tell airplane stories, that just ignites something in me like you wouldn't believe. Amen? You see, I long to be around people like that. When I'm around the apostle, oh man, it's never a dull moment. You cannot help yourself but walk away lit up just by hearing and seeing with your own eyes what the Lord does. The people that come to the Lord, the people that give their life to Jesus, the people that break down and cry. And after they're done crying, the chains are completely off of them. Bondages are broken. So many things that you just walk away from that and you feel as though you can take on the world. Amen? Around brothers and sisters, around men and women of God who love the Lord just like you do. In the house of God, otherwise in the temple, as David speaks about here in the text. Amen? You see, David valued the house of God more than he valued his own castle. And mind you, right now, the temple was not built. The temple was not built. The Ark of the Covenant was on a tent. And he valued that tent more than he valued a castle. And I am here tonight, and I want to say one thing to all of us here tonight and all of you watching right now online. As we desire more of God, more we're going to find the Lord. The more we search after the Lord, the more we are going to possess. The more we're going to have of the Lord. That's how that works. That's how that works. The more you seek after God, the more you're going to find him. The more you yearn after him, the more you're going to have him. Amen? Yes. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
The more you go after the Lord, the more the Lord is going to show up for you. I want to read right now Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, we're going to start in verse 17. Isaiah 41, 17. And we're also going to read verse 18. And it says this. The poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open up rivers in the desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valley. I will have the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. The Lord said this. God said this. Even though someone might be in a desolate place, here is being described as poor and needy. Even if you are in need of something, if you are lacking something in your life, the Lord promises that he will have an overflow in your life if you seek him, if you go after him, if you prioritize him. The yearnings for God within us is the response to the beat of the Lord's heart that is knocking right now in you. Right now, the yearning that you might be feeling, that any of us might feel from time to time, or all the time, is the Lord knocking in your heart. Say, hey, dude, hey. When you wake up in the middle of the night, you can't go sleep. We call that dry eye, right? When you wake up dry-eyed, can't go back to sleep. You're like this. Can't shut your eyes. Sleep is gone. The Lord wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to say, he wants to tell you things. He wants you to talk to him. At times when you remember how God has been so good for you, sometimes you, I know I drive certain places, I remember the time in my life when I used to, I commonly use the illustration, the example, when I go on certain bus stops that I used to hang out in, waiting for the bus, upset because I missed the bus. There are a couple of bus stops where I froze right there. I was so cold, certain body parts were burning. My hands were burning, my feet were burning because of the cold. You ever get that sensation? That's an uncomfortable feeling, you know, because you're so cold. I remember where the Lord pulled me out of. And I bless his holy name that he has kept me alive, alive to serve him, that he has blessed the work of my hands, that he has heard my prayer. Amen. That the Lord uses my life to bless others, to give a message, to deliver healing, to preach the word, to do anything that he asks me to do. And when I go a long time without my God, I yearn after the Lord. I do. And this is a healthy thing. Amen? Yes. Turn with me to Psalms 27, 8. Psalms 27, verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. You know what this is? Prayer. This is your response. Whenever you are yearning for the Lord, whenever you are seeking something from God, your response to all of this is prayer. Have a strong prayer life. Have a dedicated prayer life. Pray in tongues. If you can pray in tongues, pray in tongues. As much as you can. As much as you can. Pray in tongues. Pray to the Lord. Pray from your heart. Don't pray from your mind. Don't let your mind, don't pray in English, or if you're watching this in a foreign country, if your natural language is another one besides English, don't let your mind influence the words that you say. Pray from your heart. Make sure your mind does not understand what you're speaking, but the Lord understands your heart. And the Lord will answer you concerning his will and purpose. I heard a very good teaching from Kevin a little while back. He says, I pray in tongues all the time, and especially when I need an answer, I need a direction, I need guidance, I pray in tongues. If I'm fighting, I pray in tongues. And when I know I have my answer, I pray in English. And I call it into existence in English. And it's done. I thought that was amazing. That's pretty good. He says, I only pray in English when I know I have my answer. And then I just speak it and I go after it. And he just let it rip. And he speaks it in English, in his mother language. But before he has an answer, before he is sure, he is with the Lord in the mysteries. And that is a beautiful thing. That is communion. You see, when you need, when you long, have the communication with God. Pray in tongues. Amen? I want to wrap up here. In Luke chapter 11, verse 9, that says this, so I say to you, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. And let's read the next verse also, verse 10. Verse 10 says, "For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open." Amen. Let this be an encouragement to all of us here tonight and you watching right now online. You know, when the Lord says for us to seek his face, and you actually go and do it, "Your face, Lord, I'm going to seek," he's given you a promise right now that you will find him. You will receive an answer. You will receive directly from his hand. But simply because you might be in an uncomfortable situation or place, that does not exempt you from yearning after God, because he hasn't changed. Maybe my situation and your situation might have temporarily changed, but God hasn't temporarily changed, and he will never change, as a matter of fact. He will never change. And something else that will never change about the Lord that we serve, he will never stop loving you. Ever. He will never, ever leave us or forsake us, says the Lord. Amen. Do you believe this word, brothers and sisters? Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we exalt you. And Lord, we thank you for your sure promises, Lord, towards us. Your children, Lord, your people who love you, who call upon your name day and night. We thank you, Lord, so very much that we can find you, Lord, any time of the day, any time of the night. We can boldly, Lord, approach the throne room of God. We can come before your presence, Lord, and find help in time of need. Thank you, Lord, that every single time we knock, you open the door for us. Every single time. I pray, Lord, your people tonight will be strengthened. I pray, Lord, that if they are in this state of wilderness, in a bad state in their life, I pray, Lord, that they will look unto you more than they would look into their circumstances. That they would seek you, Lord, more than they would seek self-comfort. Lord, when we have you, we have everything, and we bless your holy name for that. Thank you, Lord, so very much. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's continue to worship the Lord with our offerings and tithes. Praise God. Please stretch your hands towards this tithes, offerings. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for those that were able to give. And Lord, we ask you to bless the ones that were not able to give. We thank you, Lord, for the tithe. We thank you, Father God, for the offering. You said, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into our bosom." So, Father, we thank you. Lord, we know that you are the one to multiply the offerings and the tithes. We thank you, Lord, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that we shall have room to receive it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Amen.